Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Express ourselves in this day and time. When there is representative of no hope, we as the light of the world should present hope. If there has never been another time to be in ministry, this is the greatest time as ever. Because there's people looking for something. People are looking for something and not finding themselves self-satisfied. We thank God today. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for bringing us through. It's been an interesting journey for us these last few months. I call it transitioning. Every stage of life has an opportunity for you to transition. But in the process of transitioning, you have to make up your mind on how you're going to handle it. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. The transition in life eliminates a lot of things, you know, and you're going to go through it. I laugh a lot of times because things that I've been going through, I didn't expect. I went through a lot of transitioning this life. I got to the age that I'm watching most of my friends die. And so that's a transition, you know, and you get to a point. I've been the absolute in my business for almost over 20 years of my life, but I first went in business for myself at 27 years old, and I hadn't worked for anybody for that long. And then you get to the age that you start retiring, you're trying to figure out, well, what am I going to do? You know, not having something to do after doing something every day is a long time. But we transition, and we thank God for the opportunity. But one thing that never changes is Jesus Christ and his loving hands on you. You will not transition out of the love of Christ. Come on and tell him thank you. Come on, church, let's not be quiet today. Hallelujah. I was studying this week, and I wanted God to help me figure out my ministry and where I fit, how I play, and what I'm supposed to be. And he basically gave me an opportunity to look back. And he basically told me, he said, just go back to what you know to do. You know, just preach the word. Just preach the word. Don't try no new gimmicks. Don't try to set the house on fire. Just preach the word and let the word minister to the people. If you would pray with me that we'd be able to deliver something that the Lord has given me today and help me at this time. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who is the proven mystery of his grace. We thank you because there's none like you, and we appreciate you because we believe today. Lord, we ask that you use me as clay. Mold me and make me, Lord, that I will be what you need me to be. Let this word come to convince, convert, and deliver. Those that need to be saved, let them accept the word. Those that need healing, let them receive their healing. In the name of Jesus, this day we ask you, Lord, to come into this place and stir. Come on, Lord, stir us up that we feel your presence right now. Stir us up, Lord God, that we know that you're God and there's none like you. In the name of Jesus, from the pulpit to the pew, let your word serve today, Lord. Let it ignite us today. Let it move us in Jesus' name. Come on and tell him thank you right now and put your hands together. The word of God is here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This fan blows my paper. Let me will you do that? I might tear the wall down. Yeah, I am not mechanically inclined. I thank God he blessed me this Friday. That's fine there. He blessed me this Friday. I had all four of my grandchildren in my house all day Friday and all day Saturday. One got so attached to me that she wouldn't sleep with nobody but me. So I was kicked and mauled and screamed at all night long. So if I go to sleep while I'm preaching, it ain't because I'm bored. I tell you, these grandbabies is exciting to me. They're excited. I've seen so many people with theirs. I love, and all mine are girls. So they all got their personalities. They all want to come to Papa. I sit down to the table. They all four want to sit in my lap and eat out of my plate at the same time. But God, that's a blessing of God. And I was wondering if my wife felt the same blessing, because she was dragging. They called her grandma so many times that she hid on the front porch and went to sleep. But we thank God today. This message today comes from John, the 7th chapter. If you work with men, it's a message I've preached in a two or three part series. But this first part is to get us to a point to understanding the rest. And we're going to possibly hit the rest of this over time. But John 7 and 37 is where we're going to focus our energy. But we're going to do some background work so you'll be able to understand this. I think it's important that if everybody can put their hands on the Bible now, you'll be able to find it later. Are there enough Bibles in here? Everybody got a Bible? Everybody got a Bible? Say amen if you do, and if you don't, raise your hand. We'll get you one. Everybody got a Bible? Amen then. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, say it, believeth on me. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So this text defines the position of where everybody was pretty much at when the announcement of the Holy Ghost. See, we got to kind of twist it these days. We have utilized or allowed people to utilize the Holy Ghost as a gesture with outlandish behavior. And, you know, like a lot of people, they started out calling them holy rollers. And there was different denominations that believed in certain different things about the Holy Ghost. But the scripture says that it will come out of your belly. In other words, it will be embedded in you so deep that you will praise him. Come on and say praise him. From your belly. The water he spoke of was not water to be mopped up, but the Spirit will embed itself in you to where when you hear the name of God and you start seeing what God is doing in your life, you'll praise him, not from here and not from here, but right here. Come on and tell God thank you. We will give honest praise when we have the Holy Ghost in place. And so we look at where it was going on here. This is the history of this, is that There were three times a year that all the Jewish men had to go to Jerusalem. Three times. And this was the Feast of the Tabernacles that they were having this festival. And the Feast of the Tabernacles came, and they were in this 37th chapter, the seventh chapter, and the first verse, Jesus was there in Galilee with his family. And the challenges with him was, he said, a prophet has less respect in his own home. And if you see these first verses, he said, now the Jews that feast at tabernacles was at hand. His brothers, therefore, and said unto him, depart hence. Even his brothers did not believe in Jesus. This is how deep this was. Jesus was kicking the ministry off to save the world. But it didn't even have support from his family. Some of us is trying to do something and you don't have the support of your own house. Come on and tell God thank you. There's no reason for you to give up. Because that's a sign it's a good ministry getting ready to get on. So you look at this and said, they told him, said, now why don't you go on up and show yourself and prove yourself to your so-called disciples. You've been working these miracles. This would be a good chance to go up and show everybody what you're doing. And then he made a statement that says, it's not my time yet. It is not my time to let you see who I am. In other words, y'all, you got timing for what your ministry is supposed to be about. It is not my time for me to show you who I really am. But if you believe in me, I have a gift for you. This text is going to be the journey to the upper room. He said, if you believe in me, as the scripture has said, this is the challenge we have today. We don't believe like scripture. Too many of us get saved and join a church, but never step into believing. You got to believe. Now, y'all don't get that, do you? You can see where your belief is by how you're living. If you're still struggling with problems you had when you came here, you're not serious about believing in Jesus Christ. Because if you seriously step in to what he has for you, you'll have a change. Come on, pews. Things will change. Situations will change. Habits will change. People will change. Once you start believing that God can change them. Hallelujah. People that hate you all your life will change as soon as you put your belief in practice. We say a lot of things. We say a lot of things. But we don't do everything like we say. I found out that I was really saved when I could be saved by myself. And when I stopped being eye candy for folks looking at me and started being saved, so I was eye candy for the Lord. When I started changing some things I was doing, when my attitude began to change, things I knew I needed to be delivered from. Come on, come on, come on. Sin ain't no accident. Everybody wanna holler, oops. Everybody, oops. You ever had them people get around you and you know you don't curse, you don't drink and all that stuff, you know, you don't smoke, none of that. And then they get around you, and they say, so I said, oops, I forgot, preacher. I forgot. I said, no, you didn't forget. That's in your nature. Because you have not made a commitment to make something change in your life. You know, it's easy to preach about what you know instead of just what you read. I know where I come from. I was a oopsie. But I got so bad, I didn't care. I didn't care if you was a preacher or a pope. If I was going to say something, I was going to say it. But one day, I found myself undone. And I came to Jesus just as I was. And I said, Lord, I need to make a change. I was unhappy. I was disappointed. I kept getting setbacks. I was disrespected in every realm. And I had no way of dealing with it. But I said, Lord, change me. Sometimes we want the situation to change, but now we need to start praying, Lord, change me in this situation. Come on and tell God thank you. This text is so important for you to get in your spirit, because this is the beginning of the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. It's important that you understand everybody that professes Jesus needs the Holy Ghost to have a completion. Because you're going to live a life of failure trying to do it on your own. Huh? I mean, how many of y'all can really, really manage your temper if somebody spit in your face? Raise your hand. I want to see it. I want to see how many of y'all just can. Oh, that's all right, brother. God bless you. How many can handle it? You're going to need some power. And Jesus said, once you have the Holy Ghost have fall upon you, you shall receive power. Come on now. Some of us are sitting in here powerless because you don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will give you power to withstand job loss, family breakdown, hurt, sickness, illness, disappointment. Holy Ghost will bring you through it. But you got to seek him. Hallelujah. This is the day. It said, the last day of the great feast. Jesus waited until the middle of the week. And he went to the feast. And he sat down like the rest of the teachers, but not in a conspicuous place. And he sat down and he listened. And part of the tabernacle feast was when the priests took the water and did the water offering. And he sprinkled the water on the altar. And as he sprinkled the water on the altar, Jesus setting off from afar. And he said these words, this is the water that they sprinkle. But I bring you water that will give you everlasting. If you're thirsty right now, this water won't satisfy you. But the water I bring will satisfy your thirst. Sometimes we are thirsty. We get alive into a church and we're not exactly where we need to be. We're not exactly where we thought we're going to be. We don't feel exactly what we thought we're going to feel because we're still thirsty. Hallelujah. We're still thirsty this morning. Jesus said, I bring you water that's going to satisfy that spiritual thirst. This everlasting water. You know, I always looked at things that were permanent. And permanency means if you do it once, you don't need to do it again. Nothing on this earth except God creates permanency. Because everything else is temporal. In other words, temporary. But here's Jesus saying that if you drink the water I bring, I'll take your thirst. I'll satisfy your needs. The need for the believer is to complete their salvation. And this is the part that we don't really teach a lot. Because they say you can be saved, and you are saved once you accept Christ. But your completion is also receiving the power. So once you get the power, the things that are mystical to you or that you don't understand are revealed to you. Now listen, maybe I'm jumping off a bridge here. But a lot of us don't understand the scripture when we read them, because they don't have the power. You understand? We spend a lot of time doing a lot of self-talking and reasoning. But the power of the Holy Ghost will reveal things to you. The Holy Ghost will take what people try to say to you and explain it to you. When you're busy walking and talking and not listening, the Holy Ghost will wake you up. Some of us are blind to things because we're so caught up in what we think. But I'm going to drop a bomb on you right now. God didn't say nowhere in this book that he cares about what you think. What we think, how we feel, you need the Holy Ghost to reveal to you. You don't need to go to Miss Rudolph or whoever that is Miss Cleo, to waste your money on what you'd dreamed. It's in the Word. And the God sent a comforter to translate this. If you see, the scripture says that the Holy Ghost had not come while this seventh chapter was being committed, because Christ had not been glorified. He had not come because Christ had not gone through the crucifixion and the resurrection, and his body had not been glorified by God. So the Holy Ghost could not come until an alternate power had left. Come on and tell God thank you. And so when we look at what had to happen, the Holy Ghost will come to you once you glorify him, once you praise him, once you seek him. It's not a mystery. It's not an accident. It is a purpose effort of letting God do something miraculous in your life. You need some power this morning. I'm going to tell you a secret that I know to be true. If you had some power this morning, this church wouldn't be quiet. You had some power this morning, you'd be praising God about the good news, about how he saved you, how he brought you out. Hallelujah. How he woke you up. I woke up. How many of y'all, about 12, 14 years ago, I woke up blind. Couldn't see across the room. Pastor, it looked like smoke. And I thought the house was on fire, but I couldn't smell no smoke. Completely blind. And I didn't panic because I didn't know what was going on. You know, God kept me. God kept me. And so I went around and found out my sugar was 1,200. And I didn't know it, but the body was dying. And the eyes was about the first thing to go. And I asked God, I said, did you save me for this? This is what we need to ask you. When things get so bad in your life, did you save me from all of that just to bring me to this? And I said, the devil is a lie. You know, the devil is a lie. He got a purpose. And he's revealing it to you as you go through your troubles. When you start calling on God, the seed of David was Christ. The need for the believer to become a candidate for the Holy Ghost is complete surrenders. Somebody sang a song. I love that song. I surrender all to Jesus, precious Savior. I surrender all. Do you really know what that means? Do you really know what that means? Most of us want to come in and get saved. But a lot of us don't want him as Lord. They can understand the Savior, but I can't handle the obedience. They can understand being brought out their problems, but I can't handle the fellowship. I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. And I want to be set free. This scripture is us to set us up, because from then, 49 days and one, was the day of Pentecost. Because these men and women gathered together from this statement and believed and put themselves in an upper room looking for an experience that your Savior and my Savior spoke of. See, now, I don't have no problem with, let me say this. The scripture tells me that the Holy Ghost came in like a rushing wind in Acts 2. And the Greek wind means spirit. And the Holy Ghost comes in for the purpose to give a gift to the true believer. See, he's not just going to give it to you because you got money. Who was that that wanted to buy it? Said, I'll give you all this money if you can give me that power. So the Spirit came in, and let me tell you, it didn't come in and had people falling all off the walls and jumping off pews and slapping each other. I mean, people have their way of doing what they got to do. But this scripture says that the cloves of tongues of fire landed on them. And that's the reason it's the Holy Ghost with fire. And the fire is, like Jeremiah said, is shut up in your bones, which gives you that feeling of something different that's going on. But he also said that he gave you tongues. He took your language and changed it into a holy language. Come on now. As the Spirit gave you utterance. Well, what does that mean? You're not speaking something you made up. You know, you're not saying Chevrolet outside. You're not creating a spiritual tongue. As the Spirit gave you utterance. Now, I'm just old-fashioned enough to know that you're going to speak in tongue once if you got the Holy Ghost. I mean, you know, good acts and good deeds is good, but you're going to speak in tongue. And I ain't worried about it, because you know what Jesus said? Believe in me now, and you'll speak later. Believe in him. Totally. Believe in him as your healer. Believe in him as your deliverer. Believe in him as your sight. Oh, hallelujah, this morning. Come on and believe in God today. Believe in Jesus. Not family. Not mama and daddy. Not the president. But believe in Jesus. Because the song says, only believe, all things are possible. How many of you believe all things is possible this morning through Jesus Christ? This morning is when we need to be looking at believing. You need to check yourself out. Am I really believing God for my career? Or am I working on what I know how to do? I have 20-something years in a field that I knew nothing about. And the Lord put me at the top of it, recognized nationally, through no efforts of my own. God did this. And then when he told me that was over, sometimes you got to know when to move. when the anointing is gone, move on. When he told me that was over and I asked him, where am I going? He moved me next door. Put me right back on top. Why? I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I've learned how to pray this. I didn't know what to say, but I said, I trust you, Lord. I trust you in this situation. I went through 6 days, 7 days of being accused of making people pray. I've been accused. I was called so many bad things one day that I almost got confused and started to say, hang him, till I realized it was talking about me. But every day I went home, I said, I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. And you know, when you lied on, I mean continuously every single day, you're lied on. And you're in a room that you can't speak for yourself. I say, I trust you, Lord. When you're disrespected in your own home by your loved ones, what keeps your peace is you saying, I trust you, Lord. Because you gave me something that is more powerful than what's in the world. I trust you, Lord. Yes, it hurts, but Lord, I trust you. Yes, I'm disappointed, but I trust you. This is when you know you're surrendered. I can't help what my children do. All my kids showed up with all them kids, my grandchildren, and I looked at my kids, and I looked at my grandchildren, and I said, these guys is spoiled worse than the babies. You know, they want people to go and get for them, and then they want to eat up everything and want me to follow them to the park. And, you know, typically you try to please people. But I said, I ain't going nowhere. I trust you, Lord. I want y'all to get your kids and go to the park. We got to trust God when it comes to our children. When people get to a certain age, you can't raise them no more. They make their own mind up. If you've lived a life and represented Christ, introduced them to Christ, you've done what you need to do. This day is when we need to let the Holy Ghost work in us. I will guarantee you this. If you commit right now, come on and say right now, that I want this total package that God has for me. Now see, this is it. There's one baptism, but several fillings. All right, what do you mean? The Holy Ghost is like you carry him in you. And what you do is when you're witnessing and visiting and doing what you do, you spill it on folks. When you do some good deeds and stuff, you know, it's the Holy Ghost. And so you come here to get replenished. How many of you believe that? How many believe you need to be replenished? That you need some more of the goodness of God inside of you? How many get tired of going on? You know, I can only do so many good things on my own. Pastor know that. I mean, I can't do nothing without Christ. Without the Holy Ghost this morning. If you're tired of not being successful, I mean, you're successful, but you know, completely. If the things you're doing are not making you happy, oh, that's a good one. If you're not happy about where you're at in life, this is your time to say, Lord, fill me. If you're not complete where you're at, I mean, if you're all right and you don't need nothing else, you don't need the Holy Ghost, we're good for you. But if you need to find that peace of God that he speaks of, this is the place. Stand with me, please. Come on and stand.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.